Today's daf is Ksubis, daf Kuf Aleph. We are on Kuf Amabez, the 100th daf that Baruch Hashem we're able to do together here in Ksubis. We have about a week and a half left to Ksubis. Every day, though, is its own world before we get into the totally new world of Nedarim. But now we still have Ksubis, daf Kuf Aleph in front of us. Still a lot of meat here in the Masechta. As we know, every daf in Masechta's Ksubis is jam-packed. And now we are on Kuf Amabez. Here we go. Hamima Enes, says the Mishnah, the last Mishnah here in the 11th Perek, talking about issues of Ksuba, selling the Ksuba, and what rights are kept by various cases of husbands and wives, of Bessin's making a mistake, a woman making a mistake. So how about women who might not even have a Ksuba at all? That's what this Mishnah discusses. Hamima Enes, a woman who does Mi'un. As we know, Mi'un, we had a whole perek about it in Maseches Yevamos, a woman who was in a rabbinic marriage that was created by the Rabbanan in order to give her a way of supporting herself. Though her father died, she is allowed to be married off by her mother or her brothers. But as we know, she could get out of that marriage by just by walking out, by doing mi'un, by doing refusal at some point before the marriage turns into a d'oraisa marriage. So a woman who is mima'enes at the end of that marriage, she does not get a ksuba. No ksuba, the Mishnah says. We'll talk about each of these why in a minute. L'shem hashniyah. What's a shniya? Shniya, as we know, are the isurei derabanan of arayos created by the rabbanan. We have the whole list back in Maseches Yevamos. What are the shniyos? Many of them are the mother's side, the maternal relatives, because a lot of the paternal relatives are darais, so the maternal ones are added on. Those shniyos, because it's so confusing, what's the daraisa, what's the derabanan, so the rabbanan answered all the shniyos as well. This is one of the classic examples that the Mefarshim quote on Pirkei Avos, on a sus yagla Torah. What are examples of whole areas of halacha, which the rabbanan created, a sus yagla Torah? So all the Mefarshim, the Rav Bartanur and others, shniyos larais. That is a classic example of a whole world, a whole new world that was created. We have many others. Basar Of Bechalov, you know, is a whole world of adding on to the definition of a daraisa. It's not just one little act here. You can't do this with your left hand because you might come to do it with your right hand. But it's a whole new world. Muksa might be in that world. Right? There are three reasons the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Shabbos for muksa. Why did the Rabbanan create muksa? Is it because gzeira, I might come to do a malacha with the item? So that only applies by certain muksas. Right? I might come to do a malacha. Certain types of muksa. Right? There are 10 types of muksa. Certain types of muksa have nothing to do with a malacha. If somebody has a fancy painting on the wall, that has nothing to do with a malacha, but it still might be muksa, machmas, chesra, and kiss. So, but one type of reason for muksa is you don't have to do a malacha. Another reason is because, as the Rambam writes, there should be a recognizable difference between what you're involved in, what we are involved in on weekdays and on Shabbos. Because after all, says the Rambam, think about a world pre-electricity. Somebody who doesn't work. So somebody is Yoshve Krono, somebody sits on the corner all day. So what does he do? He talks, he eats, he this, he that, he walks around. Maybe he might not even do any malacha, daraisa. So how is it going to be clear that today is Shabbos? So that's what the Rambam calls Shvisa Nikeres. And we need to have a recognizable difference on Shabbos and on weekdays. So again, there's another reason he quotes. The Rabbi quotes a fourth reason. But that's another area of halacha that the Rabbanan created a whole new world, included in Shnios Larayos. So you have right here, you have two of them. Miyun also, one might say. Miyun is a whole new world. So Hamema Enes, Hashnia, Veha Islandis. And an islandis, a woman who does not reach maturity because she is like a like the male saris, the female islandis. She can't have children. All the different midos and attributes of an islandis. In all these cases, ain lahem ksuba. They do not get a ksuba in all these cases. Why not? Why don't these women, when the marriage dissolves, do they not get a ksuba? So Rashi quotes the reasons. Mima nsy mishum deme'atzma yotza. Rashi says, well, she's leaving. When do you pay a ksuba? When he is divorcing her. That's when a ksuba is paid. When she's deciding to leave, so then that's it. There's no chiyuv of ksuba. Interestingly, that Rashi does not say, well, after Mian is done, then l'mafreya, they were never married. as we know, conceptually, it works. And therefore, of course, there's no ksuba, because the two people were never married, so then there's no ksuba. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that she is leaving. So what does it sound like from here? What many achronim say, we'll quote it from Reb Chaim, that even by miyun, when we say she uproots it, it only means that we could view it retroactively as if it didn't exist. But at the time, it did exist. What we call mikano lahaba lamafreya, not lamafreya lamafreya. But we don't say in time, even once it happens, we don't ever view it as happening. No. We view it from mikano lahaba, from here on, for the future, for all halakha ramifications that take place from here on, so we can say, oh, it's as if they were never married, as we'll get to nafkaminas in the Gemara. But bishaito, did it occur? Did it exist? Yes, it existed. We don't say lamafreya, lamafreya. And therefore, the reason that she doesn't get a ksuba cannot be that, oh, well, they were never married. We view it as if they were never married. But now, but not always. That's Reb Chaim's formulation in Hilchas Ishus. Devadai din ha-miyun hu hafka al ikar ha-kidusha lamafreya. Yes, that's true. Elo de mikol makom, lo mahanya hafka as ha-miyun le-inyin shenema de gam b'shaiton. We don't go so far. Wipe it off the history. We don't go that far. We view it from now as if. Again, and this comes up, we'll talk about it in a couple of minutes also, when you have Atara Sadarim. When we say a nether can be uprooted, Meikara. So does that mean it mamish never existed? Or it did exist, but we're allowed to view it right now as if it didn't exist. So you have, whenever you go back in time, in a halacha that goes lamafreya, you have to ask that question. Is it mikano lahaba lamafreya? Or is it lamafreya lamafreya? Totally wiped off the face of history? Or right now we're allowed to view it as if? But not Peshaitos. That's the diuk that some have. In Rashi here, Rashi says the reason is because she's leaving, not because it never existed. So that's the reason by Miyun. Shnia. Why by Shnia does she not have a ksuba? Rashi quotes, it's a kanas. So Gemara says in Yevamis, he quotes, Mibnei Shehi Margilto Lenosa. It's a good chance that she was the one that tried to get him to marry her. And therefore, and we can assume that in the case of Shnia. Why? As we'll see soon, because her status is not affected by being a Shnia. It's not like Almana LeKohen Gadol, as we'll see. But her status is not affected, so there's a good chance that she was the one that instigated this marriage. Therefore, we're Kones her, and she doesn't get Iksupa. And Islandis, why? Because that's a Mekachtos. He never knew that she was an Islandis at the time of the marriage. He never knew that she was unable to have children. And it was clear. It wasn't just that, things didn't work out in terms of their fertility, but it was clear, based on physical evidence, and therefore, the whole thing is a mekartos, ein lahen ksubas. Those are the three women. And now the Mishnah continues, not only no ksuba, but also no tna'e ksuba, in certain regards. Velo peros. Peros does not exist. What does that mean? Rashi quotes two deyas. What does it mean, velo peros? Rashi says, first, maybe it means there's no chiyav of the husband to redeem her. We learned earlier in the fourth and fifth parak, pirkona takas peros. In lieu, instead of, to counter the chiyav that he has to redeem her, so he gets to eat the peros from her nichsei malug. So that chiyav does not exist in these three cases. That's what peros means, day number one. Day number two is, if he ate the peros of the nichsei malug, he does not have to give any back and reimburse her. Velo peros, number two. Velo mizonos. And also, there's no mizonos in this case. What does mizonos here mean? What do you mean? He could just let her starve while he's there? So, Rashi says, no, it doesn't mean that, quoting the Gemara later on. What it means is, second to last skinny line in Rashi, Ketzad amru me'me'enas ein lo mizonos. What does that mean? What, that when they're married, doesn't have to support her? Of course not. What, like by me'me'enas? When they're still married, before Miyun is done, he doesn't have to support her? Of course she does. Of course he does. Ella, it means, Shim Halach la Medina Sayam. If he went on a business trip, and he left her, he left his 10-year-old wife, right, by Miyun, and Vilavsa, Vilachla, she had nothing to eat, so she went and borrowed money, and then she ate, and then she did Miyun, in that case, he doesn't have to pay her back for what happened before. Because right now, we can look back and say, it never was, or that she was the one that left this marriage, and therefore, he doesn't have to pay her back. So that's velo mizonos. It has to be in a type of case where they are not married at the moment. Do you say this by the other ones also? By the one, by the shnia, by the islandess. When they're married, of course there's mizonos. It's just afterwards. So that's a discussion in the, Rishonim. Whether does this apply to shnia? While a shnia is married, does she have mizonos? When an islandess is married, says the Ran, Nun Tesamet Aleph, the islandess nami. Efshar debolafsa va'achlo kamar. It could be that islandess is the same ukimta as the mema'enes. It means the marriage is done once they find out. And the question is, does he have to pay her back? De'ila achar shenim says islandess, because if it's after they find out that she's an islandess, and for then pshita de lesla, then for sure he doesn't have to pay her. Be'i biyoshev es tachtov la'achar shehikerba, and if he stays married to her after he realizes that she's an islandess, then he has to give her. He's obviously being mochel. But then he quotes, Umihu. So islandess is not going to have the same halacha as mima'enes. What about a shnia? Umihu l'shnia ein l'mezonos b'shum inyin. De'ba'amod v'hotzeikai. Says the Rana, shnia doesn't get mezonos even while she's married. We want to do everything we can to make them hate each other, to make them get divorced. They're living in sin. And therefore, we say no mezonos. The Harambam hishva befirsh a mishnah islandess l'shnia afilu yoshev es taklav ein mezonos. He says the Rambam puts islandess together with shnia, but I'm not so sure about that. Says the Ran, but at least by shnia, even yoshev es tachtav, there is no mezonos. Says the Rambam. Good, meaning to the chiluk. The Gemara says later on, of lavs of achla would only apply to what it talks about there specifically by mima enes, but not by shnia, and according to the Rambam, not even by islandess. Good, let's continue. Vilo bilaos, the worn-out clothing that he wore, her material that she brought into the marriage in the Netzim Balug, so then he does not have to pay that back. Im mitchila nasa l'shem islandess, yesh ba ksuba. But, assuming that the islandess is a mekach tos, but if he knew about it originally and he married her anyway, so then yesh la ksuba. As we've discussed earlier in the Masechta, if there's any issue that he knew about and he got married anyway, whether it's a mum, whether it's a neder, whatever it is, so many times we say, well, he knew about it, yada v'kamachla. Yes, there were some exceptions that we said, well, he thought or she thought they could live with it, but it's impossible. They tried. But here we're talking about, no, islandess, you know what an islandess is, he gets married, so yesh la ksuba. And the Ritva says, it says yesh la ksuba, it means everything. It doesn't just mean ksuba. The Ritva says, huadin, in this case, all the halachas would apply. Pirish, chadi minay, onakad, huadin, the yesh la peros, umizonos, ubalos. Right, there's no limit, only ksuba. Umidelo iflik tana, ela ba'ilanis bilchud. And also, he adds, this is based on what we also said in the Rambam just now, the fact that the Mishnah only says, well, if he knew about it originally, she gets it, the Mishnah only says that by islandess. What if they knew about Shnia originally? So, is there any difference? Shma mina deshanye af deshnia afilu hikirba ein laksuba uperis umazonos ubalos. If the husband knew she was a shnia, still, all of these tanayim don't apply, because again, we want to create a lack of shalom bias in order to help them and encourage them to get divorced by shnia. Good. Last part of the Mishnah. Alman of the Kohen Gadol, Gusha v'chalutza v'kohen hedyot, Mamzeres v'nesino li'yisrael, bas yisrael, l'nasir l'mamzer. All of these, Isurei d'oraisa. Chalutza is not an Issa d'oraisa, it's an Issa d'rabanan, but that's always grouped together with Grusha. So all of these, Isurei d'oraisa, yesh lahem ksuba. Ironically, in those cases, the halacha of ksuba does stay intact. Why is that? So the Gemara explains elsewhere, and Yevamis, that in those cases, the woman becomes Nischalala. The woman's status changes. Right? She's Nischalel. In the Kahuna cases. And therefore, and the other one, she's Nifsala, even to marry a Kohen in the future. So, in those cases, we don't assume that it's her instigation of the marriage. We assume it must have been him. And if it's him, so we're not Kohenesser. So therefore, we say the Ksuba stays intact, and she still gets it, because he was the one that tried and influenced her in terms of getting married. Okay, says the Gemara. Rav Tani Ktana Yotza Baget Ein Laksuba V'Kol Shekein Mima'enes. Rav says Ktana, meaning our Mishnah has a case of idleness. Rav expands it and says that even not a case of Mima Enes, what about a regular case of a Ktana being married? Rashi says, Ksavar Ein Nisue Ktana Elak Mefute Ba'alma. Any, even if Mi'un is never done. If a Ktana, any case of Kiddush Ektana, Yotza Beget, meaning even if she does not decide to do Mi'un before he decides to divorce her, right? So, Ktana Yotza Beget, Ein Laksuba, Vikalshkin Vime'enes. And Rav would say, surely in a case of Mi'un where she decides to walk out. Shmuel says no. Shmuel Tani, our Mishnah is Dafka. Shmuel Tani, Mime'enes Ein Laksuba, Avol Yotza Beget, Eish Laksuba. Only if she ends the marriage, a case of a ma'enes, then we say that, oh, it's as if it was never a marriage, and she caused it, and she doesn't get a ksuba. But if it would end with a get, from him to her, so then yesh la ksuba, machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether there is any status to the marriage of the ktana. Meaning, if there's a get, do we view that as a marriage that he is ending? The azda Shmuel letaimei. And Shmuel is following Lishitaso to Amar Shmuel, because we had back in Maseches Yevam, Shmuel says, Mima enes ein laksuba. Yotza baget, yesh laksuba. Shmuel says the marriage itself has significance. Only if she ends it do we say ein laksuba, but the marriage has significance. Mima enes lo pasal mena achin. If she is mima enes, she can marry his brothers. Usually we say that can't be. I can marry, a woman can marry her husband's brother after she gets divorced? No, that's Eishes Ach, right? That's the Isser that Yibum takes care of, but if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, she can't. But in the case of Mian, no problem. Lo paslam an Achim, because it's as if they were never married. Velo paslam an Akahuna. And also, she's not even considered Nifselas min Akahuna. In this case, she's not called a Grusha, according to if she is Mima Enes, right? Because she walked out. Right, Rashi says, She'ein elu geirushin ela akiras nisuim harishonim. That's all by cases of miun. Vayota beget, paslam in ha'akun, paslam in ha'kuhuna. But if he ended the marriage, then we do see that marriage as having taken place. Or, mima enes, ena tzrichal hatin shlosha chadashim. A woman who is mima enes does not have to wait 3 months to get remarried. Usually we say after a marriage you have to wait 3 months, havchana, and even if the reason does not apply, havchana, what was the motivation for the din d'rabbanan of havchana, of waiting 3 months? Because we're nervous, maybe she's pregnant, and you're not going to know who the real father is. So that's why we have the din of havchana. What if you know the husband was in jail for 5 months beforehand? You know she's not pregnant. You know she's not. Or any other ukimta. Talach is, it doesn't matter. Havchana, you need 3 months. Shmuel says, when it comes to the ma'enes, you don't need 3 months. Even though she's a ktana, and we know she's not divorced, she's not pregnant. But ma'enes does not need, because that's not called a marriage. Yotza beget, tzrichal hantin, shlosha chadashim. Yotza beget, she has to wait 3 months, Rashi on top. V'af agav, delekel espuke, ktana, bimu uberes. Even though there's no shayla, whether she is considered, she is pregnant or not, because she's a ktana, still we say that you have to wait because it was called a marriage. So you see, Shmuel is going l'shitaso that he holds that the marriage of a ktana is significant as long as miun is not done. So ask the Gemara, then, my kamash malan. Tanina, kulu. I know, we learned everything already. What is Shmuel's chiddush? We learned it in the Mishnah, back in the Perek, all about miyun, at the end of Yevamis. Hamime'enes be'ish, if the woman does miyun, hu mutter bikrovo seho, v'hi muteres bikrova. They're each mutter to each other's relatives. Right? Even the shaila is a mutter to the relatives? Machlokas pishonim here. Is a mutter even while her husband is alive? We know that usually, if a woman's husband dies, let's say there's no Yibam situation, she has a bunch of kids, and her husband dies, she's still asa to her husband's brother. The Isser of Eishes Ach applies even after death. We mentioned many times, the only Isser that changes after death is Achos Isha. That's the only one. If a woman dies, then the husband can marry her sister. See, we discussed in Parshas here a couple of weeks ago, why is that the only one that changes? Because only there, it's an issue of Tzara, it's not an issue of a blood relative, direct. But here, what would you say? Would you say this is only after death or even before death? Even while the woman does miyun, the next day she can marry the husband's brother. That is a machlokas rishonim. The Tosas Rid and the Tshuva writes, even while the husband's alive. Even while the husband's alive, she can marry him. And the Achsam Achronim, the Arachlaner and Yevamis, on this Mishnah, is not so convinced of that. But either way, so Mamanis Be'ish, they can marry each other's krovim. Volo Pasla Menakahuna. And there's no Psul Kahuna, because they were never considered married. Nasan Laget, who Asir Bekrovoseha, Vihi Asura Bekrovav, Upasla Menakahuna. So then, it is considered a marriage. So a question mark. So Shmuel, what's the Chiddush of Shmuel? So Tzricha Lahantin, Gimel Chadashim, it's Tzricha Leh, Delotznan. The last of the three Nafkaminas is not Mefurish in the Mishnah, and therefore, that's what you have to say. The question is, though, but what do you mean? So the first two are there, so Mustafa, you would have known the third. So what if not explicit? So you have to say that the third one you might not have said, even if you would have said the first two, as we explained. Even if you say the first two, maybe in terms of pregnancy, in terms of knowing that the father is, there are banim where it goes there, as we said, even in cases that the reason doesn't apply. Low plug, even if for sure she's not pregnant, even maybe if she wasn't married. She was physically with a man, so maybe that was included in the low plug. Kamash Balan, we don't go that far. We say that in this case, Shmuel is telling us the Chiddush, then in this case also, there is no reason to have to wait 3 months. Good. Lema Kitanoi. So let's continue. Machlokas Tanoi. Maybe this Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether Ktana's marriage is considered significant at all or not, is really the following machlokas tanoim. Remember, we had this machlokas in that parak of Yevamis, and we said this machlokas is the yesod, is the lumdis of miyun. What is it? So here we go. Rebbe Elazar Omer, ein maisa ktana klum. Rebbe Elazar holds that the maisa of a ktana, this marriage, is very, very tenuous. Meaning the fact that a woman can walk out and just do miyun, that makes a lot of sense, according to Rebbe Elazar. Because there's not much here. The Ein Ba'aloch Zakai, and the husband is not Zoche in this marriage to all of the financial Zechuyos that he has in other marriages. He's not Zakai B'mitziyasa, V'lo B'masa Yadeha, V'lo B'hafares Didareha. He doesn't have any of these rights. Ve'ena Yarsha, he doesn't Yarshin her, Ve'ena Metamila, and if he's a Kohen and she dies, he is not allowed to become Tame. Klolo Sheldavar, basically, it's not much there, but she has to do a formal act of miyun by walking out and registering the miyun in front of a bezdin, possibly, as we discussed there, but they have to know about it. That is chetzricha miyun. Tosfos says the added point maybe by klal shel davar is the issue of truma, that she cannot eat truma if he is a kohen. And she is not, then she cannot eat truma. Tosfos says on top, Matzino lameimar de asa leribuye de imi bas yisrael kohen lo tocha betruma v'imi bas kohen li yisrael tochal. Works lekula also. If she is a bas kohen li yisrael, she can still eat truma, according to Rebbe Elazar. Right? That is Rebbe Elazar's shita. That it is a very, very low level relationship, whatever it is. One of these. What does it say? Hafaras nedarim. She can't be made for her nedarim. How old is this woman, or I should say, girl? We're talking about miyun. So how old is she? She's not 12. So what kind of nedarim are we talking about here? So Tosfos says, "Bafaris nedareha, hainu mishihigia la'onas nedarim." We know from Maseches Nedarim that a man and a boy and a girl have 1 year before bar and bat mitzvah that their nedarim are considered significant. Right, what's called onas hanedarim. There are different stages of katnus. There's onas hapeutos, which is about 6 and 7. Onas hanedarim is the year before. So that's what we have to be talking about here. Or else the neder is insignificant. So Tosfos says, "Hainu mishihigia la'onas nedarim de'ilav hachi a nidra neder." Because if it's younger than that, then there's nothing to talk about. V'yafilu im tim salomar mufla samach le'ish da'oraisa. And then he adds, one second, I have a question also. Is this a din da'oraisa or a din da'rabanan? That a year before she can make a neder. Let's say it's a da'oraisa. So then what? According to the other day that we're about to have. The husband, the rabbinic husband, can be made for a neder da'oraisa? That's a chiddush. Right? The next day we're about to have Rabbi Yeshua. He's going to say, he can do hafaras nedarim. So even though he's only married d'rabbanan, she could be mefer, a neder, recognized d'oraisa. Why is that allowed, says Tosfos? V'yafilu untim salomar, mufla samach la'ish d'oraisa. V'yiboylon benida. It still could work. Why? The magical neder term. By nedarim, Chazal assumed whenever a woman makes a neder, she does it almanas of her husband. And even if they're not technically married, the neder mate was almanas. And therefore, he would be able to be made for it. Right? We've quoted in the past, that's an amazing chiddush. Because Rav Asher Weiss points out, we paskin, right, the big sugya of darshin and time of dekra, or low darshin and time of dekra. We don't usually use reasons or our own svaras to expand or limit mitzvos. Right, machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, at the end of Mitzia, and we say that no, only if the reason is mefurish bekra, do we say that you can darshin time of dekra. All of a sudden here by a neder, they're not married. And what do we say? She did it almanas of her husband. But it's not her husband, technically. How are we allowed to do that? So he explains that in certain areas of halacha, this is how Chazal understood the mitzvah. It's not a drasha of time of dekra. They're darshinan, the mahus of the kra, not the time of dekra. And you have to know what's called the mahus, what's called not. The other example that's given is we just discussed it last Shabbos, heter mechira. Right, one of the major issues regarding the sugya of heter mechira is the isra of lo sachanim, selling land to a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael. So the Nitziv in the 1880s, 1890s says chas b'shalom, you can't sell. It's violating lo sachanim, and even if shvius bezvana says derabanan, but you're getting it, you're running away from a wolf and you're running into a lion, right? Because lo sachanim is an isad daraisa. And other achronim at the time, the Yeshua's Malko, and said, no, there is no Lo Sachanim, because the whole Israel Lo Sachanim is about giving a non-Jew a foothold in Eretz Yisrael. But if not selling the land and just letting it lie fallow, that would be worse, and giving a guy a more of a foothold and selling the piece of land to the guy and having the Jews still work there will keep a foothold of a Jew, then the Israel Lo Sachanim doesn't apply. You have to know what the reason. So again, what do you mean, the reason? Lo darshin in time of dekra. So the Yeshua's Malko doesn't darshan that as the reason. He darshan that as the mahus of the Avera. And that's a machlokas achronim. Is that called a tam or is that called a mahus? So here too, Tosfos says, call an oderes adas vailui oderes, and therefore even though they're not technically married, it would still be okay. Just one other fascinating, Rabbi Kiv Eger says, I have a suffix. What happens if he's made for the nether? Fine. And then she does miyun. So now what? They were never married. You don't say that she never made the neder. So do we say the neder kicks back in? Because it was never al das baila. Because it wasn't even a semi-baal durabanan. And therefore the hafara goes away, and memela, the neder kicks in. And maybe you should say, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that all the way, even if though he was mefer, she should still have to be nohag, isser in the neder, because maybe she will do miyun, memela the removal of the nether by the husband would fall away, and she'll violate. That's his suffix. He says, Mistafakna, im la'acha shehefer lamiyana, im choseres v'naseres. Kibon da miyun oker anisuin meikaro, bat ala hafaru lamafreya. Right, that might relate to lamafreya, mekan alhaba lamafreya. Right, if you say the mekan alhaba lamafreya, Mistame doesn't, there was hafaru b'shaito. And therefore that's his suffix right here. Via be'emes adin ta'acha tigdal tzricha lizar b'nidra, d'shem etzamayin v'yabatz la'hafaru lamafreya. You can only ask that question if you hold a mafreya lamafreya. If you hold mikan alhaba lamafreya, that wouldn't be a question. Okay, let's continue. So that is the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says that it is a very low-level marriage. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, the opposite. Maisa ktana klum. The actions of a ktana are significant. And in this marriage, in this rabbinic marriage, many of the halachas of marriage kick in. Ubala zakai b'mitziyasa. He's zochin all the financial elements. Rashi and Yevamis on this Mishnah, on the Gemara says, hefker bezen hefker. The Rabbanan are able to transfer these financial assets. Ubemasi yadeha. And he gets her earnings. Ubahafar zedareha. V'yarsha. Umitamila. Right? And he is mitami for her. Wow. Right? That's also a chiddush. Even for a daraisa. Right, he's allowed to be Matame Daraisa, he's a Kohen. He's allowed to be Matame Daraisa. Tosfos is bothered by this. How is that possible? So Tosfos has an amazing line, the end of the same Tosfos we were reading. V'yesh lomar, how could a Kohen, who's Chayiv, not to make himself Tame, mi Daraisa, be Matame for this woman? Tosfos says, you treat this woman, who is his rabbinic wife, like a Meis Mitzvah. Because who else is going to bury her? Nobody else is getting her possessions and her assets. So who else is going to bury her? Tosfos says, "Mitami lo misha meis mitzvah ho v'yarsheha lo yarsi lo kar yev lo anu." He quoting a Gemara a Gemara elsewhere. So that's how, again, each of these halachas have to be explained. How does the Durabanan affect the Daraisa? Klala shel davar, back to the Gemara. So Rabbi Yeshua says, Harei yiki ishto l'chal davar, ela sheyotza b'miyun. The opposite, wait. Really, it is a marriage, and the chiddush is that she could just walk out. She doesn't need a get. So machlokas tanoim. Is the marriage of a ketana serious or not? So lema rav damar krib elazar, shmuel damar krib Yeshua. Let's say the machlokas rav and shmuel is a machlokas tanoim. Smora says, no, you don't have to be boxed in and say that. Aliba de Rabbi Elazar kuliyam alo pligi. What does that mean, Rabbi Elazar, who says that it's a very low-level marriage? For sure, Shmuel argues on him. You cannot put both shitas within Rabbi Elazar. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Yeshua, but maybe both of them can fit into Rabbi Yeshua. Shmuel ke Rabbi Yeshua, Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua fit in fine. Both of them hold there is significance. The Rav who limited it, how can he fit in? Ad kan lakam Rabbi Yeshua Hasam. When does Rabbi Yeshua say that there is significance? Elamidi dolidi day. Any zechuyos that go from her to him, meaning the rights in a marriage. So that's where we say it is a marriage. Why? Because we want to encourage these men to marry these girls. And therefore, we create the marriage on his side. Avomidi day lidi dolo. But maybe getting the ksuba, maybe Rabbi Yeshua would agree to me, Rav would say. And therefore, really, both opinions could fit in within Rabbi Yeshua. Period. Velo belaos. The Mishnah said that in these cases of Mema'enishni and Islanus, also no belaos, he doesn't have to pay back the worn-out clothing of the Nifsei Maluk. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chiyel Rav Kahana, Amart Lon Mishmei Deshmuel, Lo Shanu El Nifsei Maluk. This only applies, as we just said, to the Nifsei Maluk, that we know is not written in the Ksuba. He is able to enjoy the peros, but she keeps the guf. Nichsei Maluk. That's what it applies to. Well, the Nichsei Tzon Barzel Isla. But any Tzon Barzel that was recorded in the Ksuba, he does have to pay back. That stays with her even in these cases. So, Havi Barav Papa Ahai. Rav Papa says, which of the three cases in the Mishnah is this referring to? That this Chilik of Maluk and Tzon Barzel. E Lema Amima Enes. Let's try case number one. Are we talking about a case of Mima Enes? So then, that Chilik shouldn't apply. Why? E De Isnehu. If they still exist, the clothing, whatever it is, she should get it back right now. You say it was as if they were never married, so this was hers. And if they're not existent, then of course. Because we view it as if there was no marriage from now. And therefore, of course. So that chilik shouldn't apply. Ella Islanis. Let's try case number three. Right? What about Islanis? So does that chilik exist? So Idi Isnu, Idi Vidi Shakla. Again, if they exist, she should take both, because they were never married. It was all a mekartos. The Idi Lesnu, and if they don't exist, and the question is, does he have to pay her back? If Chami Baile, this far should be the opposite. What do you mean? Nichze Meluk, Dibirshu Sa Kaimi, Nichze Meluk, that are always in her Rishus. So Is never left her Rishus. So Isla, he should have to pay those back. Because the goof always belonged to her. Those were always hers. So he should have to pay that back. But which the Rabbanon allowed him to have to be viewed in his Rishus, Lesla, he shouldn't have to pay back because he had rights to those. Those were his. So what is this chiluk? Who is this chiluk true for? So Ella Ashnia. So we say he's only talking about the middle case. By a shnia, so that's where this chiluk exists about nechse meluk and son barzel. Vikansu rabbanan lidida bididei. So, and we're kones, because it's a shnia, so they're both wrong. So, we're kones each of them, what they should have gotten. We're kones her bididei. She should have gotten the nechse meluk, because those were really hers. We say no, because we fine you. And ulidide bidida. And we fine him regarding what he should have been able to keep. And that's the Nechsei Tzon Barzel. And we say that he has to pay that back. Right? So the Rabbanan would fine each of them what they should have gotten. Amar Efsimi Barashi, Shma Mino Midrav Kahana. What do you see from this statement? The following. Aili Leglima Karnahavi. If she would bring in a piece of clothing, so then we would have to view that all as Karen, as principle. V'lo Michzila V'azla Dabali. And he wouldn't be able to wear it until it gets all worn out. Why? Because you see in the Mishnah, where there's an illicit marriage by a Shnia, that's what we talk about, whether he does not have to pay back. But what if it wasn't an illicit marriage? He would have to pay back. Why? Because that's all called Karen. And therefore, if she brings in some type of clothing that can get worn out, you'd have to sell that and create principal, and he'd just be able to enjoy the fruit. The Amar of Nachman Peira, Have I, Rav Nachman says elsewhere that wearing it until it gets worn out is Peira. So the Rav Nachman Pliga, okay, Rav Nachman argues. Rav Nachman is allowed to argue, Machlokes Amoraim. Period. Ein lahen ksuba. So, next, these women do not have ksuba, peres, mizonos, blows, all of these cases. Amar Shmuel, lo shanu, ela, mana, masayim. These women only lose out on the ikar ksuba for the various reasons we said before. Mechatos, or knas, or meatzma yotza, aval tosefes yeshla. But tosefes, the extra ksuba that he adds in on his own, even these women get. Why? Rashi says on the third wide line on the bottom, Tosefes Yeshla Dematana Ba'alma Yahivla. We can view that as a gift. Bechibas Bia. Because of the affection that he feels for her, because of his ability to be able to live with her. So that's why he gives the Tosefes, even if you have some of the other reasons are overridden. Tani nami hachi, nashim shamar chachama ein lahen ksuba, kegon hamema enes, v'chavro seha, and the whole chevra with miyun, ein lahem mana masayim, avol tosefes yeshla. Fine. Nashim shamru chachamim, yotzeis shelo biksuba, kegon overes aldas v'chavro seha, but according to the women we had back on the Mishnah on Dafayin Beis, the women that are, right, Overis, Aldas, Das Moshe, Das Yehudis, remember those cases? Ein lohen tosefes v'koshkem on a masayim. They lose everything. They lose everything. Why? Because you remember those cases were examples where she undermined the marriage. In the case of Ein Laksuba, right, she went out, Yotza Parua, or Kol Nishmas Bashuk, besides the Daraisas of Lokotza Lokhala and Misham Shaso Nida and all those cases. So there she even loses the tosefes in that case. And if she's Yotzeis Bishem Shemra, Rashi says, Shezinsa, right? So then she takes what's in front of her, she takes her next time to look out, and that's it. She doesn't get anything else. Obviously, Znus is considered an undermining of the marriage. Messiah Leila Rav Huna, this supports Rav Huna, Dam Rav Huna, Zinsa, Lohifsida Blaoseha Kayamin. Even if she is Mizana, she takes what's still hers. She takes her Nechse Malug. Right, and that's exactly what was just said. Tani Tama Kamei Derav Nachmin, Zinsa Hifsida Blaoseha Kayamin. Zinsa, the Brisa said of Rav Nachman that she loses it. She loses her blows, her worn out clothing that she brings in. Amarleh, and Rav Nachman answered, Imhi Zinsa Kaleha Mizanoi. What if she was Mizana? Fine, she doesn't get reimbursed of anything. But we don't take things from her. The next thing we'll look at hers. The goof is hers. So Tni lo ifsi de blosa kayamim. No, it's the Brisa should say, she does not lose it. Again, Znus, if a woman is Mizana, she undermines the marriage. We've discussed earlier in this Pesachta, what about Katana Shezinsa? We're talking about Katana here. What about Katana Shezinsa? So that is the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, the Machlokas elsewhere, whether we say Pitui Ktana is Ones Hur or not. The Rambam has a line where he writes in more than one place. The Rambam says that even Ktana, a Ktana Shezinsa is Naseros Abayla. She's not going to be punished. Why isn't she going to be punished? Because she's a Ktana. And she's a Pashas, you would say, a Lav Basdas. So if she's a Lav Basdas, the Ravid says, and all other Rishonim say, so how could she be Neseros Abayla? How could it be considered a Maisa Merit against her husband if she's a La Basdas? Okay, there's a difference between maybe a 6-year-old and an 11-year-old, maybe. But that's how the other Rishonim ask. But the Rambam says, no, Neseros Abayla, Pitzuktana Onesu is just regarding Onshim, but in terms of the Isra, it's still called a Maisa Merit on her husband, which would create Isra Abayla. These are the words of Rabbi Menachem. I mean, the original Brisa maybe was a Das Yachid. You don't have to change the Brisa like Rav Nachman did. You could just say that was a Das Yachid. But the Chacham argue on the Brisa, and they say she does not lose her worn-out clothing. Good. The Mishnah said, an islandess, if he knew originally that she was an islandess, that she doesn't lose all of these halachas, because it's not a mechatos. Amarav Huna. Islandess, Isha ve'ena Isha, Almana Isha Gemura. Now, most of the time, you have to figure out what's behind the Gemara's language, the lumdus. Once in a while, you get a line in the Gemara that, like, the lumdus screams out at you. This is one of those lines, right? By an islandess, she's Isha ve'ena Isha. Almana Isha Gemura. We have to figure out what that means. The Gemara explains. Islandess, a man marries an islandess. Isha ve'ena Isha. What does that mean? It's either full or nothing. Hikerba, if he knew that she was an islandess when they got married, yesh laksuba. Then they're married fully, yesh laksuba. And ena Isha, lo hikerba, ein laksuba. Then they're not married, mekartos. almana. But if a man marries, a kohen marries an almana, isha gemura. What does that mean? Ben hikirba, ben lo hikirba, yesh laksuba. Rav Huna says, even if a kohen did not know that his wife is an almana when they got married, we assume they are married. They are married, and therefore they would require a get. It is not a mekartos. And that's what the achronim here wonder and ponder. What's the difference? What's the difference between a physical malady and a halachic malady? By a physical malady, we say, oh, if he would have known about this, he would never have married a mekartos. But a halachic, usually we say the opposite. We always give the example. If somebody wants to go on a diet, and somebody's fleishik, and they want to eat the ice cream. I'm sorry, I said it both together. If somebody's on a diet and they want to eat ice cream, it's hard for them, and they might, you know, fall and eat the ice cream. Okay, I'll start tomorrow. But if somebody's fleishik and they're a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, they're not going to eat the ice cream. Why? Because halacha is clear. Halacha is clear and the diet is, I'll try. So that is the opposite. So ask the achronim here. Why is it that in the case where islandists I didn't know about, so then mechatos. But Alman of the Kohen Gadol and Nebah, what's the difference? So there are a couple of suggestions given. Says some achronim say, well, islandists, you couldn't have known. There's no way to check. Sometimes it doesn't come out until later. Amana le Kohen Gadol, let's say. So then you should have checked. You should have checked. And if you didn't check, it's kind of your fault. Yesh laksuba, one. The Chazonish has a different formulation. The Chazonish in Evena Ezer, Ayin Tes, Venire. Didafka nidarim umumin va'ilanis v'chayotzebo shenafsho shal adam soledes mehem. A person jumps away from them. Chashiv bistam ketzayim afurish. That's as if it's a tzayim afurish. Aval arayos. We know most people keep halacha, but we also know ein apuchabas larayos. We also know that if somebody wants to get married, you know, rachmana leslan, cases of a kohen going out with a grusha, and they come up with all different types of, he's not really a kohen, she's not really a grusha. So when it comes to arayas, you know, sometimes we find that people aren't thinking so objectively. It says the Chazonish, it could be that at the second that they're getting married, if you would say, but she's an almana, maybe he wouldn't be able to stop. Maybe he'd want to go through with it. Unehidu la'achar ha'hisboninus yischaret aval hacha hanidonu al rega hakidushin ve'achupa she'ilu noda lo achshav berega she'sameach bekirvasa u'misatzev berichuka. At the moment that he's been waiting for, iha yeshav kerega v'kovish yitzro, that's not so pashut. Not so pashut at that moment. Maybe in a week from now, he'll feel bad. But at that moment, maybe not, right? We know it's an avatzliya b'davar, right? What's the example of avatzliya b'davar in the Mishnah in Perkei Avos? Amnon and Tamar. What happened? He had a lust for her, and the second he was with her, the next morning, or not right afterwards, he hated her. Sina gedola, the Navi describes. So right afterwards, but at the moment, he can't control it. So the Chazanish says, maybe not. Maybe at the moment of the marriage, he was willing, and therefore, he needs a get. That's Rav Huna's Svara. And that's why there will be a difference between a case of Almana and a case of Islandess. Viter, that's one case. Rav Yehuda, says the Gemara, V'Rav Yehuda Amar. Rav Yehuda says, Achazu v'achazu, Isha v'ein Isha. No, even my Almana l'Kohen Gadol, we don't make any chilukim. Hikir ba yesh laksuba, lo hikir ba in laksuba. If you didn't know about it, then the whole thing is a mekartos. Meisve, is this really true? Kansa, becheska shehi kain. If the Kohen Gadol gets married, becheska, he knows that she's an almana. Kohen Gadol marries an almana, becheska shehi kain, v'nimse shehi kain, and it comes out that she's an almana, lamaisa, yesh laksuba. So fine, they're living in sin. But as the Mishnah said, she gets a ksuba. She's nischalalo. We assume that he was the instigator of the marriage. She gets a ksuba. Hastama, mashra from that line of the Brisa. If he didn't know about it, specifically, ain't la ksuba. She lose the ksuba. So it's kasha. Sounds like from here that lo hikerba, ain't la ksuba. Kasha and Ravuna. So lo tema, hastama, ain't la ksuba. Don't make that diuk. Ela ema, don't make the following diuk. Kansa becheska she'eno kain. V'nimse she'kein ain't la ksuba. Only if he asked and he thinks for sure that she's not. So then we say she loses. But Abel Stama Ma'isla, but Stama, if he didn't know, then he would still get a ksuba. So the Gemara says, one second, Adatani, if that's true, so Adatani, instead of saying Bechaska Shikain, Vinipse Shikain, Yesh Luxuba, instead of saying that case, is an even bigger Kiddush. Lash Be'idon Stama, say a case of Stama, she gets a Ksuba, even if he didn't know anything specifically, Vekal Shikainon, surely in a case of Bechaska Shikain. That's obvious. Va'od, and also we have a Brisa, Tani, Kansa biyadu. We have another brisa that says Kansa biyadua. He married her knowing for sure. Vinim says biyadua yesh laksuba. Kansa stam ain laksuba. So it's beferish. We have a brisa that says beferish, that if you get married not knowing, meaning lo hikerba, he loses the ksuba. She loses the ksuba. So it's a kasha on Rav Huna. Tiyuf to the Rav Huna. So Gemara says Rav Huna masisa natiise. What led Rav Huna to misunderstand the following? The Mishnah who saw me to come maflig by islandis, lo come maflig by almana. The fact that there's a chilik by islandis and not by almana, right? Like our Mishnah had a chilik by islandis. If you knew all along, then ain loksuba. So michal da almana afilu bistamanami isla. So Rav Huna understood that only islandis has such a distinction. But not an almana l'kohen gadol. Veloi, and really it's not true. Kiktani la almana, aplukta the island is koi. Right? Kiktani la almana, right? Really, the same chilik would apply, but it's just referring, you have to refer back. The almana l'kohen gadol is going back on the chilik made by islandis. And the same chilik would apply in the case of almana l'kohen gadol. Okay. Second to last parak now in Maseches Ksuvis, parak Hanose. Hanose yasa isha, upaska imo kdeishazon espita chameishanim. A man marries an isha, obviously a woman who was married before because she has kids, isha, and he accepts to feed her daughter from the previous marriage for 5 years. He says, I'm going to take care of your daughter. The Ritva says, even if no kinya chalipin was done, he just has that t'nai, chayelazuna chameishanim. So he has to support her. He has to support her for 5 years. He accepted to do it for 5 years. She has to support her. Why does it say Hanose es ha'isha? Not just Hanose nose isha. Ha'isha nishveis, all the cases. The Melechah Shlomo on Mishnayis says, the Ktas Kasha, Milo Tani Hanose isha. Es always means something, not only in the Torah, but also in Mishnayis. He says, Ef Shalomar de Mishum Dahacha Vade Ba'almanakoi, Shar Yesh Labas, Mishum Hachi Ktani Ha'isha. Pirish Shekfar Ha'isa Isha. Hanosi as Ha'isha, the woman, meaning the wife that's been a wife before. Number one. Number two, or he says maybe, if this man is accepting to feed his daughter for 5 years, this must be a special woman. This must be somebody special if he's willing to do this. That's why Hanosi has Ha'isha. Hey, Hayadia. You know, this special woman, says the Malach HaShlomo, maybe that's why he says S. Okay. Hanosi has Isha Upaski Mok. Kadeshi Yazan Esvita Chameshanim. Chayev Lazuna Chameshanim. He has to feed her for 5 years. Nisei Sla Acher. If, let's say, the mother got divorced from this man and married somebody else within the 5 years. Upaska Imok. Kadeshi Yazan Esvita Chameshanim. And now she gets her second husband. Meaning her third husband, really, to feed her daughter. So each of them, now the daughter gets double. Lo yomar harishon l'kishet tavo etzli azuna. The first one can't say, well, she's not with me anymore, so I'm not feeding her. Ela molech la mizonos seha lo makom she'ima. He's got to send her the mizonos. He's got to send her the mizonos wherever they are. Overlapping chiyuvim both exist. The chayin also. Lo yomer shneim hari anu zanos akechad. The two husbands can't come together and say, you know what? We'll each take turns every month. No. Ela echad zana. The echad nosin la demei mezonos. They each have to do it, even though it's an overlapping chiyuv. He said 5 years. Period. Niseis. What if the daughter gets married? Habal nosin la mezonos. Her husband gives her mezonos. They nosin la demei mezonos. And then both of the fathers, now the stepfathers, you know, have to feed. Mesu, if they die, benoseya nizonis minechasa b'nei chorin. Right? Her, the daughter's daughters, will get fed from nechasa b'nei chorin, called it's a chov, v'hi nizonis minechasa b'shubadim, v'bnei shiki balas chov. He is a real balas chov. That was the commitment going into the marriage of her mother, and therefore, she could still keep getting fed. Hapikrim, if their husbands were smart, they would just put a different lashon in the ksuba. Hapikrim hayukosven almanasha zunis bitcha chameshanim kozman sha'atimi. As long as you're with me, as long as you're not married to anybody else, so that's as long as you would have. So there is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid, and the Rishonim will discuss it here based on this Mishnah, and we discuss this Shavuos time. We discuss this machlokes Shavuos time. What's the machlokes? Hilchas Mechira, Perek Yud Aleph. The Rambam discusses Can a person obligate themselves to something that is infinite, to something that is not definite? I go to you, there's something called Hodas Baldin Kmei Edom Dami. I go to you and say, I owe you $100. Okay, that works. What if I say, I owe you whatever you want me to owe you? Is that binding? Is that an obligation? The Rambam says, no, that is not an obligation. The chayiv atzmo b'davar she'ino katzuv. If somebody obligates themselves in something that is not definite. Kigon, she'ama harini chayiv lazunotcha. I'm chayiv to feed you. O lakasoscha chameshanim. I obligate to feed you and to clothe you for 5 years. Says the Rambam, avo mishakonu miyado lo nishtabid. You owe nothing. Zero. Shezukamo masnehi ve'in kan davar yadua umatsui. I'm sorry, ve'ezekamo matana. Says the Rambam, you cannot obligate yourself to something that's not a fixed amount. I'll feed you for 5 years. That's nothing. The Rambam knows our Mishnah. The Rambam knows our Mishnah. Continues the Rambam. So why in our Mishnah is it obligated? Why? Because they're getting married. If it's such as a separate obligation like that, it wouldn't work. But here they're getting married. There are special rules about conditions connected to a marriage. Right? Gemara is going to talk about that actually in the coming dafim. But that is the Rambam Shita. In theory, it doesn't work. The Ravid jumps on the Rambam. He says, no. He says, Rabosav Horu, Velo Yadati, Meayin Horu. He says, his rabbis, the Rambam's rabbi said that, but I think they're wrong. Look at the Mishnah. Oh, special because that's to do with the marriage. We'll see. The Ravid argues, right, this is a machlokes. The Rambam and the Ravid and the other Rishonim agree. Is this Mishnah a proof that you could be obligate yourself to something that is not definite? Where do we talk about this? The Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi in Parshas Mishpatim asks, how is it that Bnei Yisrael said Nasa Benishma and it was obligatory upon them? Isn't that infinite? We'll do Hashem whatever you want. That doesn't work. It's Mechayah themselves to a Davar Sheni Yadua. Ask the Beis Halevi, it doesn't work. So says the Beis Halevi, there's another Rambam. The Rambam, you're right, says you can't obligate yourself to a Davar Sheino Katsav. But you know what you can do? You could create the status of an Eved. I could become an Eved Ivri. So if I become an Eved Ivri, then Mamela, I have to do everything that you want me to do, even though I don't know what you're going to ask me for. You can't directly have the Chiyuvim. But if you create a context, you create a status, Eved Ivri, so Mamela, it works. So that's what happened at Nasa Ben Ishmael. We became Avdei Hashem. It wasn't that we said, Hashem, we obligate ourselves to do mitzvah number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 13. We have no idea what the mitzvahs are. We obligate ourselves to be your avadim. So mamela, that could work even for the Rambam. Because that's creating a context, and once you're that context, once you create that relationship, then it would work. Okay, there are other cases of overlapping chiyuvim. Maybe we'll start with some of those cases tomorrow, in terms of overlapping chiyuvim, whether they disappear if the second one starts existing, or not, they overlap like our Mishnah says. Okay, we'll stop here. Parsha Shir Bezim should be up from last night, and we'll continue tomorrow.